Good morning, and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Ashwini.
Good morning, Chris. I guess we have the pleasure of doing this show this morning as Sherry is traveling.
Indeed we do. And technology appears to be working, so shall we just launch right in?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, let's do. So the assignment from yesterday. If a pickpocket meets a holy man, he will see only his pockets. What we see is what we are. The world we live in is as it is because of how we are, not because of how it is. And, of course, how we are is the result of the narrative we're listening to day and night in conditioned mind. The pickpocket isn't interested in anything other than what he might get from the holy man's pockets. We, when identified with ego, are only interested in what we can get to satisfy ego's insatiable desires. Today, recall times when you've been disidentified enough from ego's focus on getting for me to feel the satisfaction of being. Record and listen.
Mm. Wow.
That's good, isn't it?
Mm.
All right. Let's see what our first caller is noticing. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Chris and Ashwini. This is Paula.
Good morning.
Hi, Paula.
Hi. Hi. I wanted to talk a bit about what I've been experiencing and looking at and seeing recently, and that is, and of course, as I was listening to you read the today's assignment, Chris, it reminded me, I guess, of what I wanted to get some feedback around and guidance around, and that is just the great frequency with which I recognize that there is this commentary on how I'm doing.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and so a commentary on how you're doing. So give me an example, Paula.
Well, as I was about to say, when Chris was reading this, immediately after the end of it, there was this, oh, you better hit the, you know, in the call button, because you don't get this assignment, and it doesn't really relate to what's going on. And so that's one example. The other example does that help?
Yes. So okay. The process you're aware of is that as soon as something happens in the environment, the attention goes to that conditioned narrative, that thought process, which tells you your experience of that.
Yes.
Right? And it's usually along the lines of, well, you don't get it, or you didn't do it right, or you did that really well. In other words, there's a commentary about your experience or how you're doing or who you are that's constant, and you're aware of that.
Yes, that's exactly so. And as I was listening to the assignment again today, what dropped in was that it really is the listening to the commentary that makes the difference, because the commentary, at least so far, especially recently, it just seems that the commentary is almost always there. And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it does. Whatever's going on or whatever I'm doing, there is this voice that has something to say about it, and it's kind of it's. I trust that part of it is growing awareness and that I am noticing it a lot more. The other thing I guess that I'm questioning is that it really seems to have ramped up over the last few months, but then occasionally, like I've been helping out, helping someone out this past couple of weeks, and it's been really it's been wonderful, but it's also been very challenging because I have very little time to even call into the, and I may have certain things scheduled, but the helping out, something comes up and I can't follow through with what I have committed to. So that's one place where conditioning really amped up and began to say that, you know, I haven't made any progress.
Yeah, well, a couple of things about that. There are a couple of things, almost three different things that you were pointing out there. One, the process of that it's listening to the conversation that determines how we look at life, right? Because what you're noticing is that the conversation doesn't go away. But if we attend to it, it's there. If we don't attend to it, it's not. And so that's your direct experience. That if it's constantly yammering and nattering on, which it does, so long as we look to it to see if it is ongoingly nattering around, right? So that's one piece of it. And then the other piece of it is that noticing of as we start to pay more attention, we're actually in awareness a lot more. And in that awareness, there is that expanded experience of all of life, including the nattering voices, which the voices want to make a problem and make your attention move towards that place of, I have to focus on the fact it goes back to the same process that we were talking about, which is an assessment. Well, if you're really paying more attention, how come you're hearing me more?
Yes, that's right. Which implies, that's exactly the question.
Which implies I'm not paying attention or I'm not aware. But with an expanded awareness, we're aware of a lot more things. And that gives us the information of, yes, let's expand the awareness, but we also get to explore that process of directing the attention. So if I expand my awareness more, are the voices less loud? Or am I referencing the voices, which is why I'm attending to them more in awareness? And now that becomes an interesting exploration. My favorite image of that is, you know, we're sitting in front of a fire, and if you're in the fire, you're burning. If you're standing outside looking at the fire, you feel the heat. But as your distance from the fire recedes, then you have the capacity to see the fire without experiencing the heat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of how attention, we can play with attention and awareness, right? As we expand the awareness, the voices become less close. And so if the attention is on awareness and we can move the attention in the field of awareness, then we are much more aware of beauty and flowers. And that really important point that you made, Paula, that when content becomes charged, right, when life becomes a little bit more challenging in terms of circumstances, not that there's anything wrong with it, but when the pace and intensity of what we're engaged with increases and our practice, our ability to take time to steward our attention and practice stewarding our attention gets eaten up, then we have to look to see what's really going on. Are the voices ramping up? Is this just a karmic place that I need to bring a lot more compassion and awareness to? Is it just one of those places I want to practice? And again, there's nothing wrong with having voices, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of the last place it gets us. But then the question becomes, how do I get, if my intention is to be present, to be aware and not let my experience be colored by what the voices are saying, then how do I support myself and practice in this set of circumstances? Because no set of circumstances are ever the same.
Yeah, that's so helpful. So helpful to hear. And it reminds me of the other, the sort of, I don't know, the flip side, but the other side of this sort of a dichotomy is that on the one side, if something, a lot of, just like you said, a lot going on, circumstances, I'm enjoying it, I'm loving it, and yet it does take me away from this daily structure that supports, that at least, and this, I'm not sure if this is, this is maybe partly with conditioned mind too, that it's taken me away from the things that support me, and therefore I'm falling for it.
Uh-huh.
However,
yeah.
On the other side of that, I'm actually feeling strong and really clear, and it feels like this whole taking care of, you know, helping someone else and really being super busy and really being conditioning and ramping up is, in some ways, it's kind of like, wow, this is really helpful.
So yes.
It's strange, but it is. It feels helpful. I feel like I'm stronger as a result.
Yes. Yes. Well, and you know, to me, Paula, we reach that place in awareness where it's something that we've been talking about a lot recently at the monastery, right? That when awareness is expanded, we can have all of those experiences, because it's only a conceptual idea that if we're present, it feels in a particular way, which is peaceful or blissful or equanimous. Because when we're in life, we experience all of life. The subtlety that you're pointing at is, I'm here, I'm present, there's a lot going on, I'm enjoying my life. And the way the voices want to take that away from me is to tell me that the structures that will assist me to be more present are structures that I am not attending to. What better way to take you away from the enjoyment of the present moment? Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Because what is being referenced is that commentary, that narrative that you were pointing at, that comments on whatever you're doing. Well, you're here enjoying your life, but you can't be because you're not listening to the structures or attending to the structures that are going to assist you to enjoy your life and be more present.
Yes. Yes, and that brings me back, and this will be my final point so someone else can get on the call. But it brings me all the way around to how I started out when I first was unmuted, and that was that this thought that I'm reading this assignment again, I'm hearing it again, and I'm not getting it. And it reminds me of many times over this lifetime, some of the most powerful things that have felt really transformative in my life were initially things that I didn't have a clue what was being said, but I was drawn to it, strongly drawn to it. My heart was like, wow, this is, I read an entire book and of teachings and it's like I couldn't put it down, and at the end I couldn't tell you anything.
Yes.
And yet,
well, that's what we're aspiring towards, right? Because what you're pointing at is the conditioned process doesn't grasp it, but we have a way of being an awareness that knows all of the things that conditioned mind cannot grasp. And it brings us to the assignment, right? Because if we're listening to, so it's your, in fact, you got it, right? Because you experienced what the assignment was pointing at. As long as I'm listening to something that's telling me that I don't get it, that is my experience. But as long as I'm present and open to receiving it, intelligence receives it, and that is my experience. That there is a way of knowing that is not the way conditioned mind knows. And so when we have both those experiences, what conditioning is trying to do is to reconcile those two things, right? How come I feel as if I don't get it, and yet I get it at a different level? Because if we're in conditioned mind, there is no experience. It's all ideas and thoughts. And then when we drop in here, we experience whatever it is that, I mean, you are telling me about the experience of the assignment, of how you got the assignment. Because as long as I'm listening to a comparative commentary, my life is about how I don't get it. And as soon as I drop into being here and being enjoying myself, I get it.
Yeah.
And if I start to try to figure it out and reconcile those two things, I'm in a state of confusion. Well, that's your experience, right? And whatever we're attending to, that's how we see the world.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
so beautiful.
When we start to look it up, when we start to talk it out, and we realize we are expressing our experience, and that is not how we narrate our experience, right? Because the narrative is already pre-programmed and in a can somewhere that's being played on a loop, which is whatever I'm doing, I don't get it, and I can't figure it out, and I could always be doing better.
Uh-huh.
Versus what's
actually
going on, which is I'm present, I'm enjoying myself, and I'm having a good time, and I know these teachings in my heart in a way I couldn't say it or explain it.
Yeah. Well, wow. That's just so helpful. And I just want to say thank you and you know, I'm very grateful for this opportunity to express what is difficult to express sometimes.
Yes, exactly. So with a group of people who might actually get what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what that was the other thing. It's like, you know, I hear that I get that Sangha is this opportunity to express in a circle of folks that do get it. So I'm going to go, but thanks so much. I appreciate it. Take care.
Take care, Paula. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Paula. Boy, Shwini, so much in that conversation. As Paula said, it's very helpful. And one thing that stuck out for me was that idea that conditioning can't understand these assignments. It really doesn't have its own experience, since it's a machine of sorts, and that it just projects that onto the practitioner. So conditioning
exactly
can't understand
right.
anything, and then just projects that right onto the practitioner. And if we believe that conversation, then, you know, that's the gateway to whatever process conditioning wants to take us to.
Exactly. It's the assignment again. How it is how we're being told it is.
Exactly. Yep. All right, shall we hear from our next caller?
Yes, please.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Krish and Chris and Ashwini. This is Goli.
Hey, Goli.
Hi, Goli.
How are you both?
Wonderful and so
excellent.
Excited you got on this, you got on the show.
Thank you. Yes, I promised I would start Project Joy. So I'm the last one, I think, in the Sangha to join, but I'm happy to be here.
Well, as Sherry always says, only now matters. So
thank you.
Yay! Let's throw a party.
Yes. So what I know, I love the assignment from yesterday because that's something that I've heard so much in my life, that, you know, the world is as we are. And what I notice is whenever I come back from retreat, I feel very peaceful, and so it changes my perspective on my life. So when I left for the retreat, it was, you know, I'm so alone and I'm so lonely and other people don't live like this. And then when I noticed that the most important for me is look up and suffering, then I've really been given this life that is so peaceful and so quiet, and in some ways I kind of live like a monk, but in the world, and perhaps this is the perfect life for me because I have all the time and space to really attend to what's going on with this person instead of being distracted by kids and other things.
Yes. So. Well, what you're saying, Goli, is so important on two levels, right? One, the ability to recognize how true the assignment is, which very few conditioned people get, right? That before you came to the retreat, you had that experience of, wow, I'm so lonely and I'm so alone, kind of an isolated place. Then you go on retreat and your experience changes to something that is peaceful, and you recognize that it's the same set of circumstances in your life as at the monastery. You do live like a monk, and there's an attitude of peace and acceptance that you experience. And so then there is the ability, once you accept that, right, once you're not listening to a conversation that talks to you about how lonely you are and how different you are and how abandoned you are, and you accept your life as it is because it's the only life you have, then you start to see all the ways in which your life is peaceful and happy and just the way it is. There's a sense of acceptance about how it is, which colors your perspective of it. Right?
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
The thing that gets me most into trouble is then the voices want to take my attention to how other people are living.
Yes. Exactly.
My life.
Exactly.
What I do compared to them. Yes.
That's right.
And so I'm practicing just dropping that and, you know, saying things like, I choose unconditional love, or I choose peace, joy, and love. But I can't let myself get into that conversation because then I'm in trouble.
Yes. It's the most wise realization we come to, right? Which the first is this assignment. What I'm attending to colors my experience of life. If I'm attending to conditioning, then that's the lens through which I view my life, which is there's something wrong and not enough. And if I'm here for how life is, and that conversation is not going on, then I have a very different experience of my life. And if I determine that the experience of my life that I want to have is one of non-suffering, which as a spiritual person you're choosing, then you recognize what causes you to suffer, which in this case happens to be the conversation comparing your life to other people's life and finding it wanting, right? And you've discovered if you don't listen to that conversation and you put your attention on what you choose to put your attention on, which is peace and love, that's your life experience. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's very powerful to know how it gets you through comparison.
Yeah.
And then drop the conversation and come back to your experience where in this moment, everything is just perfect as it is in your life. It has to be, right? Because what you found out is it's only through that comparative conversation that there's something wrong with you or your life. If you're not attending to that conversation, there's nothing wrong with you and your life. And that doesn't mean you don't go out on a date or you don't play with kids in the park or go for a walk if you choose to, and interact with people. But it comes from a place of being fulfilled already rather than there's something wrong with you that you have to go out and seek in your life.
Yes, that's a very good point. Because then the other conversation is that, okay, then, you know, in this way you're going to be a hermit and, this teacher...
Yeah, it's a duality, right? You either can, in that world, if you have to accept your world as it is, then you have to just stay at home and be by yourself and live in a cave. As opposed to just being present, and when you're present, you're participating, right? It's not, you're interacting with the people at your work, you're interacting with people you love, you're interacting with family, it's all filled with love. But as long as the conversation is on the absence of connection in your life, because it's comparing your life to somebody else and finding out all the ways in which it's not the way it's supposed to be, then what we're focused on is the absence of love, not the presence of love, right? But if you're present and you're interacting and participating in life, it's filled with joy and connection, and you feel connection with the flowers and the trees and the people and your students and everybody. It's full of love. It's just not of the way conditioning says it has to be, right?
Right, yes. It's not like in the movie.
That's right. Which is, you know, it's a fantasy. And yet, when you sit in the movie and you watch it, you're going to an experience inside of you that fulfills you. You didn't actually have to have someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's so interesting that we have all of the experiences that we want within us, and if we want to experience it, we could turn our attention to that. The lie is you need something external in order to trigger that for yourself. What practice teaches us is we could just turn our attention to that place, that experience in ourselves through a recording, and we have it.
Right. Yes. So I have to beef up the recording.
Yes. What does it feel like to be completely here, completely loving, participating in life, not listening to that conditioned conversation that the only way you're going to be happy, connected, loved, and fulfilled is if you are in some kind of movie that conditioning is projecting. That the vision, the standard that it's holding up for you and saying that's not how your life is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the radio show, right? Project Joy or Project Joy. If I am projecting joy, if I'm a projector from which joy is arising, then that's how my life will be.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's wonderful. Thank you so much, Ashwini.
Thanks, Goli. I'm so glad you got on.
Thank you. Me too.
Deep gusho.
And see you and Chris. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Goli. Ashwini, we've got 2.5 minutes. Shall we go for another one?
Yes, let's try to do that.
Let's do it. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dana from Alaska.
Hi, Dana.
Hi, how great to get through to you guys. I really appreciated that conversation. I kind of want to thank Goli for just bringing all of that up. And I guess what it brought up for me was that I have a story, because I live in Alaska, that if only I hadn't chosen to live in Alaska and were closer to my family, you know, that was a big error and that everything would be better. And I carry that around with me, and it's so freeing just to remember that I'm creating it and that I don't have to believe it.
Yes, well, it's even better than that, Dana. You're not creating it.
Uh-huh.
It's being created.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You are creating it, right? Because that's the other part. If you're creating it, then you can stop creating it. And if you can't stop creating, there's something wrong with you.
Right.
But you're not doing any of it. It's being created simply because it can be created, and it can torture you with it. And so, yes, you have the complete freedom not to attend to it, not to believe it, and to have your attention on what is right now, which is you are in Alaska.
Right.
And now you get to decide how to feel connected and choose love in every second in Alaska.
Yes, and that's what happens whenever I stop paying attention to that voice. I also, since time is short, want to share something really great that I heard with the Sangha, which is Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary said in a concert the other day that if we want to have our country back, Republicans and Democrats just need to start talking to each other, and not so much the politicians, but just people, like start dialoguing, and that if we do that, we can get our country back. And I found it really optimistic, and it And also it wasn't really stuck in like, well, getting our country back means we get what we want or they go away. Just a really nice expression of a middle path and the knowledge that people are actually having that dialogue. Very uplifting. So.
Yes. Well, and that's it exactly with our assignment, right, Dana? When we listen to something that's the negative conversation that is talking about, that is reporting on the rift in the country or what's wrong with the country, then our experience is that there's something wrong. When we listen to someone who's offering us a different and a more inspiring perspective of life, then we feel uplifted. And we can have that experience for ourselves, right? Despite all that's going on, the flowers are blooming and the sun is shining and I'm alive, breathing in the miracle of existence. And from that context, as you said, we can move forward in a very, very different way than the dualistic orientation of conditioned mind, where if I want my country back, then I have to get rid of everybody else who is doing what they're doing to my country, which is divisive rather than conciliatory. And so, yeah, you know, if our hearts want to come from that place of love, then we see how we're informed by that in our action and our attitude.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's all. It's great to talk with you guys.
That's big.
What a treat.
Yes, exactly. Deep gesture, Dana. Thank you for that.
Have a wonderful day, you too. And everybody.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dana. So true, Ashwini, that we can have that uplifting conversation ourselves. We don't actually need to depend on anything else other than moving the attention to the conversation that we'd like to be having.
That's right. Exactly so.
Very fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so
very
our
fun.
Assignment. What's that, Ashwini?
I said very fun.
Very fun. So our assignment for tomorrow. The same eyes with which I see God, God sees me. Once again, we get to explore the power of realizing the process of projection. When God is viewed through ego's eyes, God has all the attributes and behaviors of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. Viewed through that lens, God is judgmental, punishing, angry, and jealous. When viewed through the eyes of authenticity, God is compassionate, kind, generous, understanding, and loving. Our life experience is determined by the focus of our attention. If attention is on ego, the world slash God is hostile and dangerous. When attention is on presence, the world slash God is a tender, benevolent friend. Today, keep a close eye on projections, allowing the projections to assist you to see what is doing the projecting. Record and listen.
Wow. That was a perfect assignment to wrap up call for the morning.
Yeah, indeed. The plot is thickening, as they say.
Yeah, so the veil is being removed.
Yes, exactly. All right, very good.
All right, thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Ashwini.
I guess we'll see everybody tomorrow.
Take care.
Go happy.